That hymn touched me in a way that I didn't think it would touch me. And sometimes something like that just hits you. And the beautiful name of Jesus. And yet in our gospel, we hear people making excuses. I open with this verse. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Did we hear that? I heard it loud and clear. I'm preaching to the choir because you all are here. But somebody's out on a boat because you can meet God out there. There's somebody fishing that can meet God out there. There's somebody that's even drinking, somebody in a hotel that could be here and won't be. And I'll read through the gospel and I'll comment through it. This wasn't what I was going to do, but something the Holy Spirit, I think, led me in a different way. A certain man made a great supper. That's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's preparing a great supper in heaven. We have a preview of it right here, each and every time we receive Him in the Eucharist. And He says to all of us, come. There are those that won't come. For all things are now ready. He came here on earth, as that hymn just said. He came here when the Archangel Gabriel announced to Mary, you and your womb, the first tabernacle of the church, are going to bear the Son, my only begotten Son, in your womb, and you will give birth to this child, my only begotten Son. He lived His life here for us. He performed many miracles, taught and taught and taught, and through the Trinity season. We'll be teaching more and more about what He said in these days on earth. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Somebody fishing. And here it says, the first said to him, I've bought a piece of ground and I must prove it. A certain person I know who goes to a church up north sometimes says he's got to pick this or that out in the field. And he asked me, is that all right? I said, you should ask God that question. You should ask God that question. And I must needs go and see it. Plow, plant, harvest. Or maybe just sit out there with a cup of coffee and look at it instead of coming to church. Who knows? And like us, when we turn down an opportunity to pray, to come to church, or to help somebody, we say like he did, I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I've bought a 5 yoke of oxen, I go to prove them. Got a new horse, got some new cows. Got a new boat. Got a new RV. Got a new truck.
I brought it here.
But he brought it here. I pray thee, have me excused. A myriad of excuses, most of which really don't count. Another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. I just, we're on our honeymoon and, you know, we're driving somewhere and I'll miss church. Maybe the best thing would be when you're newly married is to be in church, have a church wedding, and if the next day is a Sunday, then be in church. We were married on Father's Day, so we were married on a Sunday, so we were in church. Went to church that morning and in the evening, we got married, so we did it right, but it was, I would have to say it was more of convenience than conviction because it was already set up for us. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. That's Jesus seeing us making these excuses. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, of course, this is a commission for us. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. So go out and do that. And he did do that. The servant went and did that. And the servant comes back and says, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. And yet there is room. There's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. This is talking to people who have heard the gospel, have heard the gospel message in the TV, radio, coming to church and turning down the Lord at his bid to come and receive him as personal Lord and Savior, to follow him in baptism, to receive the sacrament of baptism as a child, and then to appropriate those promises made for us at baptism and our confirmation. When the bishop asks straight up, do you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Then you appropriate those promises made for you at your baptism. And yet, people come and do that, do it methodically. And yet, where are they? Now, I have to admit, I was there at that one time where I didn't go to church all the time. I've got better things to do. Really? What a sorry excuse that I had. Again, we hear these words. A lot of people try to, minimize what this means. But I say to you that none of those men forbidden will taste of my supper. That means they're going to miss heaven. We're not going to get to heaven by our works. We're not going to get to heaven because we're here. But if they're not here to hear the gospel and appropriate it to themselves, how can they dare to call on God to take them into heaven when they haven't even, with full commitment of heart and soul, to know him as Lord and Savior, to come in his church to serve him, to receive him in the sacrament, to go out and invite others to come to church, give the gospel invitation. And a lot of times that gospel invitation is given by works of mercy towards other men, feeding the hungry, giving hope to those that have no hope. I'm chaplain of the American Legion Post down in Charleston, and I see there are a lot of broken men, broken by the terrors of war, broken by seeing their shipmates, their comrades in the field, fellow Marines, airmen, who have perished. And they're broken because of seeing this, experiencing this, hearing the sound of gunfire, bombs. And it's my job as chaplain, and I hope I get better and better at it, but it's my job as chaplain to bid them to come to this house, to come and get true healing. And this is where we get true healing. And we receive him in the sacrament. But first of all, we have to receive him in our heart and soul as personal Lord and Savior. Because if you don't have that, then this is a mere exercise of futility. And this is nothing. This is not futility. This is him in the sacrament. So when we approach him, as you've heard in the exhortation, we must unburden our souls of mortal sin, of sin against him, as we sin against mankind and sin in many, many other ways. But we have to come to the place where we're willing to come and serve him. And again, I'm preaching to the choir because you all are here. But I think it's ours to take this out on the streets, the highways, the hedges, and talk to people as we can. That might be some of these seats filled. And this isn't the only church. There's so many churches, Bible-based, sacramental-based churches that have empty seats, because we don't preach some fuzzy message of prosperity or do good and you'll be fine. We are and will continue to preach Jesus Christ crucified and coming again, upholding our New Testament standards of morality and practice. And folks, this isn't a popular thing these days. So many people go to church and be soothed. And I worked all week, now I'm going to go to church and be entertained. I'm not here to entertain you. My job as a servant of God in the office of a priest is to bring you closer to Him and give you the comfort, His comfort, that only He can provide. And again, my closing words. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.